If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
The versatile CJ Rivas joins us fresh off signing his contract with the Ottawa Redblacks. CJ, you were a weapon on defense for the Saskatchewan Roughriders for a number of years at multiple different positions. But I want to focus on the 2025 season. You're playing at an all-star level at strong side linebacker. Then you make the switch to safety in a move that was beneficial for the team for a number of reasons. What was it like for you to go through that switch in the middle of a season?
Honestly, man, it wasn't that big of a deal for me. You know, a lot of people know this, but I actually started playing free safety at first in football regardless. I think it kind of was like more natural to me than the people thought it would be. But I feel like we just needed coach came to me and said we needed a change. We got Nelly got hurt and Jackson got hurt. Unfortunately, two of my guys got hurt, and we needed to put a guy at free, you know, who knew the defense, who could talk to guys lined up. And I knew, you know, I could do that, you know. So unselfishly, you know, I left my spot at some where all the plays at, you know, and I went back to free safety where it's a little more boring, but I feel like I have more control of the game at free safety, to be honest with you. So I feel like That helped me a lot grow as a leader, as a communicator, you know, and as just a player in general.
There were people around the league, CJ, preparing for you when you moved back to safety, saying, okay, Sask has their best defensive player now at free safety. So we have to alter the way that we attack or try to attack, I should say, the Saskatchewan defense. What was it like for you, from your perspective, preparing for offenses, not at Sam linebacker, but at safety?
Honestly, it was more fun for me because I feel like at Sam, you know, I can only really control the strong side of the field at times, especially when you get, like, rock concepts, stuff like that with, like, 23 formation or going empty checks. I can only do so much at Sam. But at free, you know, I was able to get us in the right formations when they go empty, or if I see a concept that I've been seeing on film all week, you know, in 23 formation or 32 formation or a tight wing or tight back, you know, I'll know what's coming so I could inform my guys or even just get in position to make those plays. You know, I feel like that show in the Grey Cup, a lot of us, we really knew what was coming, honestly, to be honest with you. Like, everybody was locked in. All I had to do was say one thing and everybody knew what time it was, you know. So I feel like that just helped us as a team, you know, because I could see more of the field. And I feel like it was way easier to play back there because I feel like I could just see more. You know, the field is super big in Canada. So I feel like being a free game, more vision of the game.
You make the move to safety, and as you alluded to, it helps the Saskatchewan Roughriders win the 112th Grey Cup, just the fifth in franchise history. But at the same time, I would imagine behind the scenes, you're helping Antoine Brooks Jr. come along at the strong side linebacker position. So What was that like for you to move to safety, help him along, and then that ultimately in a team move for you, going back to safety, leads to the Rough Riders choosing to go younger, I guess let's call it, at the same position?
Honestly, man, I kind of saw the writing on the wall, to be honest with you. Like I said, Twan, my guy, Brooks is my guy. My little brother, man, but he's a baller, you know, and I know a baller when I see a baller. So, like, that's my everyday in camp, bro. Since the first day he got to camp, he's making plays, one-hand interceptions, diving interceptions, you know what I'm saying? He does it all. So I feel like Twan is one of the best athletes I've ever been around, you know? So I feel like he didn't need much coaching from me. He just needed just a little stuff, you know, like little details, you know, just being a pro, more of a pro, but just his ability is top-notch. So when they asked me to move, I knew we were going to lose the playmaking ability really that much because he knew how to make plays. He just needed to be coached up a little bit. So I wasn't too worried about that. But honestly, man, he was just such a sponge, you know. He came to me. He asked questions. Whenever he didn't understand something, he came to me and asked, hey, how did you play this? Or how did you see this? You know, what would you do if you got this down block or whatever? So I think he grew a lot this year as well, you know, from either being a backup first team guy to actually now playing, we're counting on him to make plays, you know, and you can see, as you can see, he made plays throughout the whole end of the season and playoff games. So I feel like it was just, it was cool for me. Like I said, I was getting in my more leader bag, you know, helping him along and actually helping guys around me as well. So it felt good too. I felt like I was doing what I was supposed to do.
You said, CJ, you saw the writing on the wall. How difficult is that for a player to process? And I'll add this. I talked to AJ Allen, and he said that he had to get through some emotions in January prior to refocusing and understanding that he has a life-changing decision in his career coming up to sign with another team other than the one that he's been with for his entire CFL career. You were in a very similar situation. The Riders brought you to the Canadian Football League. You turned into a CFL All-Star with them, and then because you make a team move and go back to safety, a younger player, as you alluded to, and Antoine Brooks Jr., takes that spot at Sam. So how did you process all of those emotions?
I feel like, well, I'm big on my faith, you know, I read the Bible every day, every morning, so I kind of just honed in on God, you know. I prayed about it, I talked about it with the Lord, and I asked him, like, you know, whatever he does for me, I know it'll be in my good interest. So if it wasn't my plan, we're not to go back to SAS because of him and what was going on with the name of the team, I knew it would be the best move for me. So I wasn't really too upset about it. Obviously, it hurt, you know, like, I miss my guys, I love my guys, my team and my coaches, you know, all the relationships I built over the last 4 years, you know, being there, J.O. and Kyle. Like you said, they brought me to Canada, man. It changed my whole life. So for them, I'm forever indebted to Kyle and J.O. for that. You know, but it definitely hurt, you know, seeing that you make a move for the team betterment, you know, and then at the end, it kind of like gives you the short end of the stick. But I'm still blessed. You know, I got a great team in Ottawa I'm playing for now, great coaches in Ottawa, kind of the same system defensively, schematically as well, you know, with a little tweak. So, like, I'm in a good position. You know, I feel like this is the best case scenario, you know, for me to leave SAS and go home. So I'm not too upset about it. I know God got all the plans for me he needs. And I'm a hooper anyway. So it's like, I don't really care. Like, now they got to see me.
How did that get communicated behind the scenes, CJ? Did you just know that you wouldn't go back to Saskatchewan? Did Jeremy O'Day or Corey Mace let you know? How did that happen?
No, I didn't know. Actually, after this season, I was told they were going to start talking about deals or whatever with my agent, but it kind of went quiet for a while. And when I saw people getting signed and this and that, like, I kind of knew, I kind of felt it on my own. I didn't have to hear anything, you know, but no, I didn't really hear from anybody until the end. You know, Kyle Carson finally gave me a call and let me know what it might end up being like. But he, you know, let me know that he loves me, you know, and that obviously I just outplayed myself, you know. I'm just, you know, it's not a bad thing, actually a good thing, you know. Obviously, like, you have established as a great player in the league, so now you earn a certain amount of money, you know. And if the team's best interest is not to not do that, I understand business, you know. I get it. He's younger, he's cheaper, and he can play ball. So I kind of took it with a grain of salt.
That sounds like a very professional approach from Kyle Carson. When you say the end he let you know? Do you mean prior to the communication window, or when was that?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit before the window. He gave me a call and something like that. I hadn't heard from anybody. He knew that. So he knew, like, he knew what kind of person I was. So, you know, I kind of took that to heart a little bit. But he kind of, you know, like, bro, like, we all love you here. He was trying to get me back. They wanted me back, obviously. But it might not be for what I want to come back for, you know. So he gave me the real on that. And I just appreciated him, man.
That is great to at least hear from somebody with Saskatchewan to know what you're getting into. So then the window happens, it opens up. What teams did you talk to other than Ottawa? Because as I said earlier, or alluded to, you're a highly regarded player in the league.
Yeah. It's crazy because this market, it was weird, man. Like everybody already kind of had their Sam already, to be honest, for the season. But I talked to BC and Toronto. You know, Toronto wanted me to play a little bit of free safety. But I didn't really want to do that. So I was between BC, Ottawa, honestly. And I just chose Ottawa because of the comfortability with the staff. You know, our coaches inside, our coach with RD in Toronto. So it was kind of a family environment kind of there already.
What's it like, CJ, to go through that process when you have, like you said, three teams that you're talking to, narrow it down to two, and then ultimately making a decision to go to a completely different city and a brand new team?
It's weird. I'm not sure how it is in the NFL free agency, but I feel like in NFL free agency, it all happens in like one day. It's like everything happens in one day. You get a call from a bunch of teams, and then you got to make a decision in one day. So I feel like it's kind of crazy. It's like a big turnaround. You know, you go from kind of being having anxiety to then being excited to then it's like, oh man, I'm on a new team already. It's crazy. It like happens in like 5 hours. You know, I was in Mexico with my girlfriend, and literally I woke up. I prayed again and went to sleep all over the red light. So it was a blessing in disguise for sure, but it's weird. It's definitely a weird feeling. It happens really, really fast.
What was it like to go through that process while you're in Mexico?
It was definitely a blessing. You know, I'd rather do that than be in the snow somewhere or be somewhere cold. You know, so it was definitely cool, man. It was cool. It was a dope experience to do.
And what really stood out to you about the Ottawa Red Blacks? You said you had multiple other teams that showed interest. It seems like you could have gone to BC. So why did you decide to sign on the dotted line with Ottawa?
Because I feel like just the respect factor was there. They valued me there. Not that BC didn't value me there, but I feel like Ottawa, like I said, they have the same kind of scheme that I'm already always within. The coaches are very familiar. I like how they use their same linebackers. You know, they've had all-star every year that Coach Fields has been the DC and D coordinator. So, I mean, I don't see that changing this year either. So, I feel like it just felt more comfortable for me. And like I said, I prayed about it. And my girlfriend asked me how they had a dream, maybe like in December, that I would be playing for a red team. So, it just happened to all work out.
That did line up. That's a premonition.
Yeah, crazy.
AJ Allen was telling me that after he decided to agree to terms with Ottawa and then eventually sign, that he was on the recruiting trail. Was he in your ear trying to get you to come to the nation's capital too?
Yeah, but it kind of happened at the same time almost. Like, kind of like we kind of texting a little bit, and I was like, hey, what's going on? He was like, I'm about to go to Ottawa. I was like, I think I'm about to go to Ottawa too. So I kind of already knew what was going on with him. So not really. He didn't have to recruit me too much, but I definitely, I think we both signed, we got down on the phone, man. We just talked it up, man, and just. It's crazy how we both came into the league at the same time, you know, and together, and now we're coming and going this new journey together. So I think it's all right in the wall, man.
There's some people joking a little bit about Ottawa should perhaps go to their old name, the Rough Riders, which was Rough Riders, two words, because of the amount of guys that have come over there. Did you talk to Jake Mayer through the process and Habakkuk Baldonado as well?
Not throughout the process, but as soon as we all signed, we all got together and chopped it up, man, you know, and just said, let's bring the family over. Over here, excuse me, and go win this cup, man. You know, I feel like Ottawa's had the talent to do it every year. They've been close, you know, as far as competing early in the season. They just fall off at the end of the year. But I feel like now with our coaches, RD at the helm, you know, he knows how to win. Us come in to bring that championship mentality and the play they already have there on the roster. You know, I feel like I don't see us not competing this year at all.
I feel like people know what you bring to the table, AJ Allen, Jake Mayer as well. Mm-hmm. But Habakkuk Baldonado, I think, is under the radar a little bit in terms of fans knowing about him. But I think he's got a lot of potential. Can you speak to his ability and the amount that he can rise in the CFL?
100%. Habba's just scratching the surface, man. He's so raw. You know, he started playing football late, I'm pretty sure. like in high school or college, something like that. But he's so raw, bro. He's strong, he's fast, he can bend, and he's athletic. You know, I feel like and he's smart too. You know, Hob is a goofball, but he's super smart. He's one of the only people I know who can write the coverages, the SBB, you know, all that stuff like that. So he's super smart, you know, and I think that's gonna help us a lot this season. And like I said, man, he's a dog. You know, he saw us help him help us a lot this season. So I'm excited to see him get his start to go and be his own man, you know, and I don't want to do his own name.
How much did Ryan Dinwiddie's fiery personality, he's ultra competitive, mm-hmm. make you want to sign with Ottawa?
Honestly, that was a big part of it. You know, I love coaches like that. I love coaches that hold guys accountable, especially offensive players. You know, a lot of coaches don't like to do that, hold guys accountable, but he don't care. He get on the quarterbacks, the linemen, the DBs, everybody. You know, I just love that because it means that he cares. Coaches, they don't do that, but he definitely is like an old school ball coach, and I love that about him.
The Riders played Ottawa twice last year. The first game of the season in Saskatchewan was a close one. The Red Blacks mm-hmm. almost came back and won, and then even later in the year in the nation's capital, it was a tighter game than I think a lot of people anticipated. Did that play any role into your decision?
Not really in any role, but I always knew Ottawa had something there. You know, even with them losing a lot of games the last 2 years, they were always a tough team to play against. You know, like you never win that game and thought like, oh, we're just going to go ahead and just be Ottawa, you know? So I feel like they already had that dynamic on their team. We just had to come in there and, you know, just add to it, you know, just put pieces together and just mold the soup right. They already got the gumbo and the potato coming to bring the meat and the sauce, man. That's all.
Sounds like a tasty recipe you got,
Colin. Come on, man. Yes, sir.
CJ, I've seen you pictured with Khalil Pimpleton. Can you detail mm-hmm. your relationship with him?
Yeah, man. So I started out at Virginia Tech, you know, and he was a recruit coming. I think he came like either a year behind me or 2 years behind me. But he was a recruit. He's a recruit behind me. So when I was a freshman at Tech, he used to come up there all the time and hang out with us. You know, guys like me, Isaiah Ford, Greg Stroman, Cam Phillips, you know, formerly for the Toronto Argonauts. So we were all just hanging out there. So I've known him since he was like in high school. And then we kept our connection ever since then, even when we went to Central Michigan. All those things, and we just kept in touch, and now he's here in the CFL doing big things like I already knew he would. And it's cool to sit on like the same team now because we never got a chance to do that in college, so now it's cool to be on the same team.
When you schemed against Ottawa last year, in particular Khalil Pimpleton, what did you have to worry about and try to take away from him?
Yeah, I don't want to give any clues away to the other defenses, but I will say Pimpleton can do everything. You know, he's a guy who can take the deep ball and take the distance. He can take a screen for 80 yards. He can go back on punt return and go score. He can go score on a kickoff return. Like, he can go do a lot of different things. He can really change the game in so many different ways. And I feel like there's not a lot of guys in the league that can do that. You know, some guys are just deep, some guys are just quick. He can do it all. You know, and most guys who are at the FSCs don't run good routes, but he runs excellent routes. He has great pace in his routes. And I just feel like he's a real pro. You know, he does things the right way. He studies the game. He works out on his own time. You know, he does all the right things. So I feel like it's going to show this year that he's one of the best players in the league.
When you play the Saskatchewan Roughriders for the first time, will you have some extra juice?
I'm going to say no, but knowing myself, I'm definitely going to have some extra juice. I already have juice anyway, but I feel like it's going to be a little extra. And they already know. I mean, we had our guys in practice, so those are my friends over there. But I always taught them, if it gets to that point, I'm going to have to do it to y'all. So it'll be fun, man. I can't wait to go back to my event. It'll be weird being the visitor. But, you know, it's just a blessing, bro. I'm still blessed to be able to do this thing. I'm excited to go back to Rihanna and go on the show.
Have you had your day with the Grey Cup yet?
I have my day. I took it to some kids before I left Saskatchewan. Took it to a couple places to eat with. So, yeah, I'm having my time. It's time to go get a new one now.
Do you remember which places you took it to eat?
I took it to, what was that spot? It was like Smoking Outlaws. Took it to Smoking Outlaws to go eat at there. I took it to Perry School. It's like a French American school out in North South. So, yeah, I took it to French American school, too, and let the kids touch it and see it. And just showing them, like, with hard work, it's all possible. You know, I was a kid, just like them, wishing for big dreams, and now here I am as an adult achieving these dreams, and it didn't come through just wishing, but hard work, faith, and patience.
What was it like to win the Grey Cup and then have your day with the trophy?
It felt crazy, man. I woke up in that morning and I had it in my couch, and I was just sitting there with my girlfriend. It's just like, I really have a cup with me in my apartment. Like, it's crazy. Like, I just, like, I wanted it so bad, man. I don't understand. People understand, like, so many things have to go right to win a championship, you know? And I feel like I wanted it so bad, and we all wanted it so bad. But, like, I really was dreaming about it every night since the offseason from last year. You know, since losing that game and when it came last season, or 2 years ago, I guess now, that hurt, you know, that hurt. I knew how good we were. I knew how I wanted to not feel that ever again, you know? So I feel like I'm glad I got to experience that.
You dreamed about winning the Grey Cup recently, CJ, but when did you first find out about the Canadian Football League?
Honestly, I knew about a little bit in high school, kind of, but not too much about it. I knew Chad Johnson went there for a little bit, you know, honestly, take him on draw. But when they called me, I think in 2021 or 2022 is when I really, like, dove in and did my research about it. And I figured out that it was just a game to, like, everything else. You know, I was good playing first. Being in Canada and being far from home and not knowing the rules and all that. Once I got here, man, I fell in love with the game. I feel like it didn't take long. I was like 2 days in and I already was like smiling again and super excited. I just felt my love coming back for the game that I had once lost before. So I appreciate Canada, man. I'm forever indebted.
Does Canada feel closer now that you've been in all the big cities and played in the CFL for a while?
Definitely. Besides BC and places like that, I mean, I'm far too on the west side. Besides BC, but I didn't realize actually how close Toronto and Ontario is to New York and Detroit. So now I'll be in Ontario, so I'm closer to home anywhere.
And where do you spend your off season, CJ?
I'm spending in Dallas, but I'm from Virginia, so a lot of my family can come to the games now. Not too far of a drive or a flight, so that's very exciting for me.
And when you're in Dallas in the off season, where are you training, and are there any CFL guys around?
Normally I train with some guys, but this year, you know, I'm doing my training dolo. You know, I got my own program set up. So I'm just training. I'm on right now. You know, I feel like I'm back to my Kobe grind, you know, just me and myself in the gym. That's it.
And what do you think it's going to take for you to go to a new team and perhaps have a turnaround season and get to the Grey Cup? And I ask it because we've seen it before. It wasn't too long ago in 2023, the Montreal Alouettes. A lot of people left them for dead, thought they didn't have a chance. The Red Blacks, the worst team in the Canadian Football League in 2025. You were obviously on the best team. So how do you think that turnaround can happen in Ottawa?
I think it's just belief, man. I think if we all believe on one goal and we all, it's all just come to belief and work. It's not really a secret recipe. It's just about belief and work and loving each other. That's a big thing. When you love your teammates and you love who you're playing with, it makes a difference. You know, you play harder, you play more intelligently, you play more intentionally, you know, when you play with guys who you actually care about. So I think it's just getting everybody to a new group of guys to play together, you know, and love each other unconditionally. And if we can do that, I think we'll be fine. Like, the talent's there, the coaching is there. We got to do our part as players to love each other and make plays.
When you went against Drew Brown while with Saskatchewan, whether he was in Winnipeg or Ottawa, did you think that this guy was a franchise caliber quarterback and the type of QB that could lead a team to a championship?
Of course, yeah, definitely. I mean, he's a gunslinger, man. He can throw it. He can sling it around. He's talented, you know. And it's like he has all the intangibles, you know. Like I said, all we got now, we need got RD, who's a QB whisper, you know, as we all know. And them two together, I know it's going to be magic. Drew got guys to throw to, you know. All we got to do is just protect Drew and keep him healthy, and we'll be just fine.
You played strong side linebacker against Greg Bell, who Ottawa made the highest paid American running back in the league. What's it like to try to defend him, considering how many balls he catches out of the backfield?
Right. Man, he's a great back. He can do it all back. You know, a lot of backs in this league, they don't have that getaway, that like long speed, maybe him and Rankin. But I feel like he has one of those game where you can take a sweep or a toss to the crib. You know, a lot of guys can't do that, but he has the speed, he has the vision, and I think he's going to help us a lot for sure. You know, in the East, East is not known for his physicality, I guess people would say, but I think we're going to come in and be as physical as possible and run the ball down people's throats and stop the run as well.
When you look at Ottawa's receiving core, I think there's at least an argument there that it could be the best in the league. It's definitely among the best. You're talking about Eugene Lewis, Justin Hardy, CFL all-star caliber guys. They add Aiden Eberhardt, the deep threat in free agency. We've talked about Pimpleton and his skill set. Keelan White, a young rising Canadian. Nick Mardner has flashed as well. There's some other pieces there. But when you just look at the starters, CJ, as a defensive player who's played at a high level in this league for a number of years, is that the best receiving group in the league?
If it's not the best, it's one of the best. You know, we got to go out there and prove it, obviously, every day. But honestly, I feel like we have the talent to be the best receiving group in the league. You know, like I said, we got Geno. We got who's a CFL legend. We got Hardy, CFL legend. We got Pimp, young legend. We got Keelan White, Nick. We got all these guys. Andy Isabella coming from the league, coming here with speed. You know, we got a bunch of guys. You know, I feel like that can go and get their own plays. Aiden Eberhardt, you know, like I said, from BC, he's a big play guy as well. You know, so I feel like we got all the pieces, you know, to go do what we want to do. And I'm excited to go against you guys in practice, because really it's one in practice. I feel like our hardest competition days is in practice. So if we can just replicate that game, like in energy and practice, then we'll be in the game and it'll be easy for us.
There's some people that I've talked to around the league, CJ, that now look at the Red Blacks linebacking group and say that it could be among the best in the Canadian Football League. Obviously, you have you at strong side linebacker, Niles Morgan as a baller at middle linebacker, and AJ Allen, who, I mean, he would definitely argue he played at a CFL All-Star level last year. Exactly. Is there anybody else that you think is in that conversation with your linebacking group in Ottawa?
No, I don't.
And why do you think that you guys are just a cut above the rest in terms of the linebacking group?
Well, I think I'm the best in the game. Well, I don't think. I know I'm the best in the game in what I do. Niles is the best run stopper in the game in what he does. AJ is the most versatile linebacker in the game as well. So I feel like we can't do no wrong. I feel like we stop the run, we play the pass, we cover, we get mad drops, we tackle. And we make plays. You know, I feel like you gotta have playmakers and linebackers and guys who are smart. And we have that. AJ is a smart guy. Niles is a smart guy. I'm a smart guy. So I feel like with all of our intelligence and our playmaking abilities, it's gonna be fun this year.
You mentioned earlier, CJ, that Corey Mace's defensive scheme and William Fields' defensive scheme are similar. Can you provide a little bit more detail into that?
Well, yeah, I think the terminology is a little bit kind of the same as well. They both started in Toronto together, you know, so I feel like they kind of built that defense together almost. But just how they use the Sam, they blitz a lot. They move around the Sam a lot. I'll be able to play a little bit more than just Sam. I'll move around and play with more positions, you know, like that. And just the freedom, I think that's the biggest thing. I think the freedom not really being so idle on where I line up, but I get my job. All this house about. I feel like that's the biggest thing in the CFL because it's only a couple teams, right? So we play each other all the time. We know what people are doing. They're the same kind of schemes in the CFL, defensively, schematically, and offensively, systematically. So I feel like being able to move around and show different disguises with playing the same coverages is a big thing in the CFL to be able to get the advantage of offenses. So my freedom in defense will allow us to do that, you know, and just make plays, you know. It's not about where you line up, but about where you end up.
There was a lot of people, as the NFL playoffs went along and the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, that were raving about Nicky Manwari, who plays on defense for the Seahawks. And CJ, I want to ask you this question because there's probably no better guy to ask in the CFL. I couldn't help but think that the way they're talking about his versatility, that's the strong side linebacker position in the CFL. But they're raving about it like it's some new found, you know, position, but it's been played that way for years in the Canadian Football League, and especially by the good ones. It seems like you would agree.
100%. It's crazy. I feel like down south in the NFL, they, like I said, they're not hype because they've got a lot of amazing players, but they're giving these guys the one note they're hiding their hands because they're playing defense. They're blitzing off the edge. They're playing man-to-man on receiver. They're playing deep, you know, and deep thirds. And a lot of guys can't do that. That's a skill set. You know, that should be something to look at as a skill set. And I feel like in the CFL, the same linebacker doesn't get enough love. You know, I feel like we got to be a linebacker. We got to be able to get off blocks and fit in the A gap to B gap to C gap, D gap. I got to cover receivers. I got to get play deep coverage, you know, deep third, deep halves, and play man-to-man. So I feel like there's no other person on the field that does all those things besides the same linebacker. And I feel like the same linebacker should get more more of his love than just, you know, oh, we can just get anybody to play there at Sam. It's like a little ratio or like a okay, we'll just put a guy there who care what he does, you know what I'm saying? But honestly, I feel like Sam is the most important position on the defense, if not the D-line. No, I feel like D-line is probably most important, but then because of that, it's Sam. I feel like you actually do so many different things. If you don't have a good Sam in the league, then you're not going to have a good defense.
I just couldn't help but think, watching Emenwori and then people praising him, and be like, that's the strong side linebacker position in the Canadian football. Exactly. He's been played that way for, you know, not over 100 years necessarily that exact same way, but guys are doing it all the time. So I'm happy that you confirmed it.
Exactly, man. Exactly. Yeah, but it's crazy that the CFL doesn't get more love, man, because it's like, it's so hard to play that game, man. Like, it's like basketball on grass. You know, it's such a bigger field. I feel like to play DB in the CFL, even if it's corner or halfback, it's so much harder than I feel like the NFL because there's so much more grass. It's so much more grass.
How do you deal with that from your defensive back or strong side linebacker position, the open space in the grass that you have to defend?
I think it's all about angles. It's about the dimensions. You know, I learned the field is bigger, but if I cut the field off at the hands where I stand at, if they're on my ground, I just make it a third of the field instead of a whole extra half of a field. That's where the plays are made at. You know, I feel like setting the edge at the old half, not the way at the old half, is where it's like close to the line of scrimmage. I feel like that. And just knowing angles and knowing the schemes, you know, I feel like a lot of teams, they like to cut the Sam out of the run game. But we know how teams are going to attack you. You can counterattack that as well. So I think just going into the CFL game and learning the defenses and learning the rules and learning how the game is actually played from back in the day. You know, not much has changed from the CFL game, honestly, to be honest. The same plays are being ran that they ran in 2014. The same defenses are being ran that they ran in 2015. So I feel like as long as you go back and watch and study the game, you'll be able to get some keys, you know. So I've been going back and doing that for a while now. So I think that's helped me a lot.
CJ, man, this has been very enlightening. I appreciate the time and just want to give you a chance. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you want to get in before we say goodbye to everybody?
No, man. I just want to say thank you, Sass, for the last 4 years. I appreciate you guys. Thank you, Coach Mace. Thank you, Coach Bell, my dog, my teammates. I just love you guys, but I'm ready to go this new chapter in Ottawa, and I'm excited to go win this cup for the Capitol.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.